course, verse 14 through 16 is what we've used for years as a great comfort and a blessing and coming to the throne of grace and so forth. But verse 13 has been a special comfort to us in recent weeks and months. It says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." And I just simply say the Lord knows. The Lord knows. And leave it at that. But we are doing a mission work as the Lord has led and has given us great grace in it. We appreciate greatly our pastor, Brother Cummins, and his wife in the Northside Church has been very gracious, very tremendous support and help to us. God's hand has been on our work in so many ways, from the fact of being led to call on Brother Cummins and Brother Cummins and the church having determined to try to do more in the way of mission work and felt like the Lord would have them do more in the way of mission work. And then we were led to call them, and they've authorized us. We're doing a mission work in Mayfield, Kentucky, about 12,000 people. There are several Baptist churches, but we don't know of any of those that are Sovereign Grace Independent Missionary Baptists, such as we are and have been for our ministry. The Lord blessed in a building. We passed a little building for several weeks, and there was no sign, no number, anything on it. And there were several times I made note, even prayed as I was going by, you know, Lord, that might make just an ideal spot, an ideal location. And one day I drove by and there was a sign on it with a number. And it had only been up a couple days, and we called it. We were the first people to call. I called on a Friday. They showed it to us. And on a Saturday, they made the building available to all our church folks, our mission folks, on Sunday afternoon. And then on Monday, we verbally agreed to a year-long lease on the building. And the Lord blessed that way. We had our son-in-law call on some signs. And we're going to get some pictures out. We meant to have some done up to bring with us. But my tech help had spent the last couple of weeks up at her mom's, helping her out with an illness and stuff. So, it didn't get done before we got here. The pictures, the Lord willing, in our next newsletter, we plan to send out some pictures. But, the sign, we called, we were going to get some temporary signage done on some corrugated cardboard. A plastic material, looks like cardboard, but it's plastic, it's very durable. And my son-in-law works in marketing for the company that I work for in my secular work. And so he called to check on it, and the guy said, why get the corrugated stuff? I've got some 4x8, you know, metal, make permanent signs, make, you know, signs that last you 10, 15 years, no problem. And we'll give it to you at cost. Be no labor charge, no nothing. We'll give it to you at cost. And so we went ahead and had church signs made because, Lord willing, they're going to be permanent. They're going to be around for 10, 15 years, as long as the Lord might leave us around. But then they didn't end up being at cost. They delivered them to us and so forth. And the guy that delivered them said they'd get a bill to us later. And several weeks went by, and Jeff called and said, "Hey, what about the signs?" And they said, "Don't worry about it. They're free." So we got about $500 worth of signage for the building and no cost. And the Lord's blessed there. Melanie went in one day to a secondhand store, secondhand clothing store, and they had some furniture and stuff back in the back corner, and they had an old piano in the back corner. So now we got a Hamilton Baldwin piano for $125. The Lord blessed us with, and The guy come out and tune it up. And he said, other than being way flat, of course, it had dates on the inside when it was tuned. 1997 was the last date it had signed up for tuning. So I guess it had to be flat. But he said, other than being flat, it's in really good shape. And Brenda and Jeff and Melanie went to a yard sale a few weeks ago. And this still floors me. They went yard sailing around the Paducah area, stopped at several, and Jeff found a really nice size pulpit, $25 at a yard sale. And so we got a really nice pulpit. So everything's just come together. God has just blessed us tremendously. And even we started holding services at the Wingfield Inn there in Mayfield, in their conference room. And the first place we stopped in to talk about a possible meeting place, and walked in, talked to the assistant manager. And she said, oh, yeah, it's available. And I just initially inquired for Sundays. And she said, yeah, it's available. So let me check on a couple things. I'll get back with you. Well, she called later that day, and she said, yeah, it's available, and we can rent it to you every Sunday, and we normally get $70 for it, but since your church work starting off, we're going to give it to you for $35. We're going to get to you for half price. And it was a real nice conference area and meeting room. It's an old-style motel, and it's got a great big pool right outside where we were meeting. And it was been cold and been chilly and everything. And so it was all empty. Didn't have to worry, concerned about, you know, seeing things we didn't want to see and seeing things we shouldn't see while we were trying to hold services. But we met there for a couple of months until we got our building and got things fixed up and everything. And the week after we left, and we're able to get into our new building, they opened the pool. So we never had to worry, never had to concern ourselves about any of that. And my one granddaughter, Elisa, she 6 years old. She's our youngest son's oldest daughter, and was asked while we were having services there, where are you going to church now? She said of Blessed Hope Baptist, she says, oh, we go to that Blessed Resort Church. Papa's the pastor. So, but I love telling grandkids stories. And I got to watch, not to tell them too much when they're around, but they are a great blessing. But God is blessed in many ways, and we can't thank Him enough. And rejoice and appreciate all the prayers, appreciate the churches that have helped, appreciate particularly this church helped in a very great way when it was very needed. We got our challenges. We were facing things that we didn't anticipate facing and dealing with things as far as personal things and so forth, but God has truly done great things for us. God has truly blessed us. God has, as He has down through the years, 40 plus years now of pastoring, God continues to amaze and surprise and at all times supplies just what we need when we need it. And so we keep looking to Him, and we appreciate your prayers and ask your continued prayers, and we rejoice in God's blessings. Let's get into our message. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We didn't get here as we normally did due to some other situations of travel and that. So I have only heard the preachers from last night. So as far as I know, no one's got into our text or the message the Lord's given us. And if he has, since I don't know about it, I'll just preach it like it. It hasn't been preached already, but we pray the Lord will will bless. In Hebrews chapter 11, one verse. Hebrews chapter 11, one verse here, verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Let us pray. Dear Lord, God Almighty in heaven, we thank Thee for Your blessings. Thank You for all Your mercy and grace. Thank You for this privilege of standing in this pulpit in this hour. We ask Your grace and Your power. We ask all be to Your honor and Your glory. And we do rejoice in this time that we have of fellowship and service and preaching Your word. Father, we pray Your Spirit would move and Spirit would manifest Himself in our midst, touch our hearts and our lives. We pray for salvation of souls and pray that each one here today who's saved in some way might be drawn closer to You. Father, forgive us where we do sin and fail You. Help us in all our many needs of life. Father, Thou knowest our frame. Thou knowest we are but dust. Know how we need Thee every minute and every hour. We look to You in all things, and once again, may all be to Your honor and Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Title of our message this morning is Like Noah. Like Noah. As we consider Noah, and as we'll look at several things about Noah building the ark, so forth, and it was brought up last night after the services. Some folks are going up to the Creation Institute and going to see the ark that they're building or have built, and so forth, and talked about all the negatives, all the things that were done to try to prevent them from building the ark and so forth. And I thought about it afterwards as I was thinking about our message and going over scriptures and our notes and so forth. It would only make sense that the world would be very, very, very opposed to the building of a life-size ark, because it stands for the judgment of God upon a sin-cursed, vile, filthy earth that we live in. And so we can certainly understand how not only people, but even, governmental agencies and one thing and another would do their best to prevent a life-size ark being built, because it is a ultimate testimony to the judgment of God. Right. And we live in a world where God is perversely presented as just a all-accepting, all-tolerant, nothing but a God of love. And obviously folks have never read the book of Revelations. God is still a God of wrath. He's still a God of woe. He's still a God of judgment. God is love, but He is a perfectly balanced being. And His holiness and His righteousness and His judgment are all still in balance with His love. Amen. And we need to keep that in mind. But as I've studied this message and thought about it, there's many ways today, I believe, that we can relate our ministries, our lives, our service, what we're doing, to Noah. And that's why the Lord led us to entitle our study, our message, Like Noah. There are several things we want to share with you, and I would like you to follow along. We'll use a number of references as we go. But first of all, beloved, like Noah, we live in very, very wicked times. We live in a very, very wicked world. We live in a very, very wicked nation. We go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 6, and it tells us this about Noah and his time. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Beloved, understand and know, and it's been already just in the services that I was in last night, and Brother Trescott was pointing it out, God is grieved at America. God isn't just grieved at the world. He's grieved at the condition of America. He's grieved at the condition of our society today. And like Noah, we are doing for God and living for God and seeking to follow God in a very, very wicked world. Look at what the book of Philippians chapter 2 tells us. Philippians chapter 2. Now this was true back when Paul was dealing with the church at Philippi. Oh, beloved, how much truer is it in our time? How much truer is this in our day? Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Holding forth the Word of God, the Word of life. Holding forth the Word of life. Not the philosophies of men. Not the feel-good ideologies of mega churches. Not the God wants everyone to be millionaires, not the gospel of prosperity that is so popular in this day and time, but holding forth the word of life, the very word of our Lord, our God. The charge to every God-called man is still preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering. Secondly, beloved, like Noah, we are building by God's design. We're building by God's design. We're not doing our own thing in our own way. We're not free to do our own thing in our own way. We're bound to be builders God's way. We're bound to be builders by His blessed holy book. We're bound to be builders. You know, when God came to Noah and He spoke to Noah and he said, "I want you to build the ark," so forth. He not only gave him the dimensions of the ark. He didn't just say, "I want you to build it so many cubits long and so many cubits wide and so many cubits high and so forth." But he gave him the exact placement of where to put the window. You ever see these pictures? You know, some of these things are cute. I know a lot of times people do up baby nurseries with Noah and the ark and so forth, and the ark looked like a cruise ship with all these windows, you know, and the little animals looking out of it, and that's so cute. The ark didn't look nothing like that. It wasn't a cruise ship. God had Noah put one window in it. God had Noah put one door in it. And we can get into all the typology and so forth of that won't take time today. But God even told Noah how many stories were supposed to go in it. God told Noah he had to pitch it within and without. God even told Noah the exact type of wood that he needed to find and he needed to make it out of. God didn't leave it up to Noah. God didn't come to Noah and said, "Noah, I want you to build me a boat. I want you to build me a big boat. Just use your imagination." No. God gave him an exact plan. And Noah built it according to the plan. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 6 says, I have planted, Apollos have watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Beloved, as God's buildings, we have directives, we have commandments, we have clear teachings in His Word how we're to build, and the way that we're to build. And we believe churches don't spring up, churches don't start up, and you don't just go and get a big enough group together and label your church. There's God's way. We believe it takes a church to start a church. Like begets like. And we believe in the absolute requirement of authority and of a church granting authority such as we've been blessed to receive from Northside Church. And we are God's building, and we need to be building by God's design. Beloved, like Noah, we're only building by God's grace. Noah was a man of good character. The Bible tells us Noah was a man of godly character. But what's it say about Noah in building the ark? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Beloved, we're building today by God's grace. And it's all of grace. It's all of grace, and it's all to God's glory. The only way that it's all to God's glory is if it truly is all by God's grace. All these, you know, churches that spring up on their own, all these so-called men that have their ministries and so forth, doesn't matter how many hundreds or thousands of people they have attend, doesn't matter how many satellite channels they end up being able to be on around the world, doesn't matter all kinds of so-called levels of success that they might have. Beloved, we're saved and we serve by His grace. And it's all to His glory. Amen. We are but dust. We are nothing. You think of how faithful Job was and in his all of his trials and tribulation, and yet the Bible says, thou worm, Job. And that's where we are. Oh, beloved, it's all of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul spoke in 1 Corinthians 10 about how he's labored, and how he's labored even more than the other apostles and so forth. And yet, who did he give the glory to? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, or chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 10. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace was bestowed upon me, not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they are. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Ah, beloved, like Noah, we're saved by grace, and we're building and doing by grace. And it's all to God's glory. Beloved, like Noah, we've been warned of certain things that have not yet been seen. We've been warned of certain things. Let's go back to our text in Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 7 again, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. In Noah's time, beloved, it had never rained. In Noah's time, it had never flooded. In Noah's time, for Noah to be building an ark and be witnessing to his other family and friends and neighbors and different ones around that there's a flood coming, God's judgment's coming forth, they all thought he was a crazy man. What does Obama and the world think of us today? You know, some radical Muslim gets a gun and shoots a bunch of people, but it's the crazy Christians that's really at fault. And that's what our president, that's what the so-called American Civil Liberties Union said. The American Civil Liberties Union, they need to change their name because they're certainly not American and they're certainly not civil and they certainly don't believe in liberty, at least for God's people, at least for Christians. But beloved, Noah was warned of things not seen as yet. Beloved, we've been warned of the rapture and resurrection. That could happen, I believe, at any moment, at any time. I was raised up and taught from the earliest age that I can remember in a pre-tribulation rapture. And as I studied the Word of God and pastored for the last 40 years, you know what? I still believe with all my heart in a pre-tribulation rapture. Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. He's coming without delay. You know, so many times folks use the phrase, well, if the Lord tarries. God's Word says the Lord is not tarrying. The Father has that moment set. And when it comes, there's no delaying. There's no holding back. There's no, just a minute, Jesus, I got to do this, or I didn't do that, or I've been wanting to tell this one about Jesus, or I've been needing to get my life. No. When that moment comes, it's here. Period. Jesus is coming. And then comes the great tribulation period. A time of woe and a time of God's wrath as this world has never ever known before. Like Noah, beloved, we've been warned. May we work and prepare ourselves that we be ready. That we'll be ready. Like Noah was. Beloved, like Noah, we are doing the unusual. We are doing the unusual. We are doing the different, the peculiar, the weird, the odd. Noah spent 100 years building the ark and doing the unusual. And you can just imagine, there's times I sit and I just imagine some of the things his neighbors and some of the things those around him must have thought, some of the things they must have said about Noah. You know, people don't, you know, it's always cracked me up. You have these fads that go through our society and so forth. And today, now, you know, just one is the tattoo craze. I'd never thought in my life I'd see so many people running around with so many tattoos and people of all different ages and so forth. It's like a craze going on. And it's always kind of amazed me as fad go around that so many people end up doing the same thing so they can show they're different. It don't make a whole lot of sense, but that's what people do, you know. They get piercings and all sorts of things and so forth, like, you know, hundreds and other thousands of people do and so forth, but I do it so I can show I'm different. When you're really different, when you're different for God, people don't like it. People are not going to accept you. People are not going to pat you on the back. And you know, you're not going to have support from, you know, society in general and even from our government and so forth. Following the Lord, we're doing the different. We're doing the unusual. We're doing that which, in general, scares people. You know, when you don't just go along with the crowd, people look at you a little odd. You know, if you don't just go along with all the nonsense that's going on around you. So, well, the Bible tells us this over in 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 3 and 4. For the time past of your life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Oh, beloved, Noah was different. Noah was a little unusual. God himself calls us a peculiar people in the book of 1 Peter. Now, God's definition of peculiar is a little different. The Greek definition of peculiar means special and unique to the Lord. But in our society, they call us peculiar and they mean something different. But may God help us to be willing to be different for the Lord. Let us not compromise. Let us not give in. Let us not go along. Let them think us strange. We see, like as Noah, beloved, that we are a few, but we're doing a great work. You know, Noah didn't have a lot of help. Noah had three sons and three daughter-in-laws and his wife. Noah was, and his family were but a few, but they were doing a great work. They were doing God's work. More and more, beloved, in this day and age, our churches may be few. The number in our churches may be few. But let's remember, we're doing God's work. And it's a great work because it's God's work. Because it's the Lord. It's the work of the Lord. And Noah and his family, they were but a few, but they were doing a great work of God. They were doing a work that God honored. They were doing a work God's way. They were doing a work of obedience. They were doing a work trusting in God. They were doing a work that God had commanded be done. Oh, beloved, we of the Lord's churches are doing that very thing today. We're not big in number. We may not be big in the eyes of the world. We may more and more, it seems like less and less as far as number of churches even. But yet, beloved, we're doing God's work. And let's never forget, you know, old Nehemiah, they did everything they could to, you know, distract him and get him away from rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem and so forth. But Nehemiah said, I'm doing a great work. Why should it cease? Why should it go down? Why I come down and meet with you? Why I take time out to mess with you guys? Beloved, let us keep in mind, we may be few, but we're doing a great work because it's God's work. Amen. Like Noah, beloved, we need to be patient in that work. The ark wasn't built in a year. The ark wasn't built in a few years. Noah worked and built on the ark 100 years. Now, by anybody's consideration, that's a long time. That's a long time in the eyes of this old world. You know, to spend 100 years of your life, to spend 100 years of your energy, to spend 100 years of your family and the labor and the work and doing together is 100 years on building the ark. Oh, beloved, Noah had a lot of patience. I believe Noah had a lot of patience for the work. Oh, how we need to be patient in the work today. Like Noah, our life for the Lord, our work for the Lord, it's not a dash. It's not a quick race to be run. It's a lifelong marathon. It's a lifelong marathon. And Noah kept building and kept working day after day, year after year, for about 100 years. But he didn't lose his faith in the Lord. And he didn't get discouraged and say, well, I've been doing this for 100 years and I haven't won my neighbors, I haven't won my other relatives, I haven't won anybody, I don't have any more involved in the work with me than I had when we started. I think I'll just quit. Think of what a travesty that would have been if Noah had just got discouraged and quit. Said, Lord, I can't go on. Lord, I can't do it no more. Oh, beloved, may we, like Noah, have patience in the work of the Lord. I fear too many today in the Lord's churches have literally lost their minds. They've literally lost their minds. What I mean by that is they've lost the mind to work. Nehemiah chapter 4, we won't take time to turn there and read it, but the walls begin, the rubble got removed and the walls begin to come together and so forth. And it says down at the end of verse 6, for the people had a mind to work. We live in a society where more and more and more we're looking for shortcuts. We're looking for ease. We're looking for comfort. We have all sorts of contraptions doing all sorts of things for us that so we don't have to sweat, so we don't have to strain, so we can take our ease, so we can kick back, so we can, spend more time wasting it on other stuff, that's probably not worthy of our times many times. But, beloved, this thing of serving God, it's called the work of the Lord for a reason. It's work. It's work. It's meant to be work. It's meant to be His work. It's meant to be labor. It's meant to be labor intensive. It's work to go forth and try to tell others about Jesus. It's work not to Just spend a night in prayer. It's work just to get down and fall on your face and spend an hour in prayer. It's work! Beloved, we need to quit taking our ease and realize we're in the Lord's work. And work is what it's meant to be. Let's get out of this mindset of comfort and ease and get out of this mindset that we live in a modern day and age. We're not supposed to have to strain or sweat or, everything just supposed to, more and more of these modernistic churches, they do everything they can to, appease people and to please people and to have things in such a way that, there's no work. But beloved, remember it's the work of the Lord that we're to be about. And let us be patient in it. Looking over in the book of James quickly. I'm going to wrap this up here in a couple of moments. James chapter 5. Verse 7. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it, till he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Oh, beloved, let's not fall down on the job. Let's not give up. Let's not get weary and quit here in the 11th hour, so to speak. Let's keep on keeping on. Let's keep on keeping on in the work of the Lord. Y'all here that put on the conference and the labors and all the different things you do, it's work. But God always blesses His work. And His work is always worth it. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, we know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. We know it. We're assured of it. We're guaranteed it. Not in vain. So let us be more determined than ever to keep on, keeping on. Like Noah, beloved, all we can do is simply do it by faith. All we can do is simply do it by faith. There are not a lot of the physical manifestations that even as a boy I remember in churches. I remember times where multiple people walked the aisle being saved. I remember revival services where sometimes half the church would come up front crying and weeping and wanting the church to pray for them, that they'd live more for the Lord and do more for the Lord, and coming forth and repenting of sin, and really repenting of sin, not just repenting that they got caught or that someone else found out, but really repenting of sin in their lives. Oh, beloved, we're not seeing some of those things as much today. But, beloved, we still need to keep trusting the Lord. We still need to keep just going forth. We still need to keep preaching the Word. We still need to keep doing what God has given us to do according to His Word. We can simply and only do it by faith. Beloved, like Noah, we are heirs of righteousness. Look back in our text in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Oh, beloved, does not Romans chapter 8 tells us that we who are saved, that we're heirs with God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ? Is that not true today? Is that not so? Isn't that what we have to look forward to forever and ever? Heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And lastly, we need to understand this. Just like Noah, there's going to be the exact number saved that God determined to save. God determined to save Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives in the ark. That's who He saved. Today, God has a chosen people. God has His elect. God's going to save. And because we haven't witnessed it yet, because we haven't, you know, I've experienced times where someone that had been prayed for and cried over and people had been burdened about them 40, 50 years, and then the Lord saved them. And there's a lot of folks gave up on them. A lot of folks said, you know, they ain't saved by now. They've heard the Word. They've this, they that, but they're not there. You know, they're not saved by now. God's never going to save them. Hey, as long as someone's living and breathing, we don't know. God can save any of His in His time. We don't know that time. We don't know who are His. So that's why we need to witness the gospel to anyone and everyone that we can. But beloved, just as the ark was prepared and God saved the exact number in whom He chose to save, God's going to save His children, His people, from their sins. Amen. Beloved, we need to trust in that and believe that today. So beloved, like Noah, there's many parallels. There's many things in our work today that we can relate and that we can find in relation to Noah. May God bless us to keep on keeping on, be faithful in the Lord's work, because God's going to save His, and all ultimate end as like as Noah, and he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And that's our place today. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. May God bless this word.